Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Grant Richmond, and today's podcast is about the Stanford Graduate School of Business and the annual Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Report that was recently published by the school. Loyal listeners of the podcast may recall that back in 2019, in episode 69, we spoke about the school's inaugural DEI report, which offered key background and insights on the school's initiative. But boy, what a difference a year makes. We've witnessed a social justice movement, a pandemic, and even a presidential election took place since we last covered the DEI report. Fortunately, one thing that has not changed is that Stanford have made available Professor Sarah A. Sewell and Lori Nishiura McKenzie, who joined me a little more than a year ago to talk about the DEI report. We also are incredibly fortunate to have Isabel Andrade, who is a second-year Stanford student, joining us today as well. So let me run down the backgrounds of our esteemed guests so that you can all get to know them a bit. So first up, we have Professor Sarah A. Sewell, and she is the Senior Associate Dean in charge of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Stanford. She is also the Morgridge Professor of Organizational Behavior at the Graduate School of Business. Her major areas of interest are organizational theory, social movements, and political sociology. And Sarah did her undergraduate work at UVM and then also has a master's in sociology and a PhD from Cornell University. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you, Graham. Wonderful to be here.
Next up, we have Lori Nishiura McKenzie. And Lori is the lead strategist for diversity, equity, and inclusion at Stanford and the co-founder of the Stanford VMware Women's Leadership Innovation Lab, which offers her a unique view at the intersection. You know, she kind of sits at the intersection of these two organizations. Lori has an MBA from the Wharton School of Business, as well as a BA in economics from University of California, Berkeley. So welcome, Lori.
Thank you so much.
And last but not least, we have Isa Andrade. And Isa is a second year MBA and MA in education. And she's passionate about creating spaces where people can connect across difference, a passion that she's explored by serving on the GSB's diversity committee. And prior to coming to Stanford, Isa studied philosophy at Williams College and worked in education in her home country, Ecuador. So welcome, Isa.
Thanks, Graham. Excited to talk.
So I'm really thrilled that all three of you were able to make time to talk about the DEI report and everything that's happened in the last year. As I said earlier, it's really been a crazy year and one where, I mean, this is just could not be a more relevant subject to be tackling here on the podcast. So I'm going to start with Sarah. I wanted to know, you know, we tackled this a little bit in episode 69 of the podcast last fall, but could you tell our listeners a little bit about the origins of the Stanford GSB DEI report and like what brought on the initiative and how long was this in the works?
Sure, Graham. Happy to say a little bit about that. The origin of the idea of the report was really in 2017 when Dean John Levin appointed me as the first SAD to oversee diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I think that's important to sort of mark that date because that's when we began to think about what can we do and what can we do better at the school around diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I was really fortunate that at that time because there was a very active staff working group, the DEI staff working group, that had been spending a lot of time together thinking about data collection, data sharing, and best practices generally. And with some of the help from the DEI staff working group, I put together a strategic plan in 2018 around diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that included hiring two key roles. The first is Lori's role, who's the lead strategist for DE&I. And a second was for Melissa Griffiths, who's not on the podcast today, but is responsible for data and institutional data so that we could begin to think about how to report and also project goals around DE&I. So as you noted, the first DEI report was in October of 2019. That's when we published it. And like this year's report, there were so many contributors, both in terms of sharing information about what was going on at the school, but also equally important was the feedback and listening sessions that we we had to get suggestions from all members of the community, and especially our students, which helped us with the facts, of course, but also the language and the tone of the report. So now, as we head into 2020, one of the things that is a real win is that we're beginning to have a longitudinal report on our progress, which helps us to both be transparent, but also to achieve one of our goals, which is about accountability, which is so important to this work.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that's kind of a, I have a question for you a little bit later that I did want to kind of think about, you know, how are things progressing? And it's great that you now begin to see with the second report, you can start to really track these things. But before we get there, I just wanted you to maybe highlight some things from this year's report and maybe talk a little bit about some of the progress that's been made in the past year.
Oh, absolutely. And I encourage everybody to take a look at the report because it's so rich and there's so much information. And I'm just absolutely so proud of what it is that we're doing and how our community is helping us with this report. But let me just highlight two pieces of this year's report to help guide your listeners as they engage with the report. And the first is that we use this year's report to issue our first update on our action plan for racial equity, which we wrote and published in July after many, many conversations with our alumni, our students, our faculty, and our staff. And so we decided this year to make the action plan for racial equity the centerpiece of the report. After that, we follow up many of our other small wins and good work that we're doing to achieve our diversity, equity, and inclusion goals. But I do want to draw people's attention to the action plan for racial equity and the updates to that. And then I think the second highlight I would mention is that we are beginning to make progress on the data front. Now, we're still not where we want to be, but we're getting much more granularity, and we're also becoming more courageous about what and how we present in terms of data. And one example of this, I'll draw attention to the MBA class profile. And for the first time, we're reporting on intersectionality so we can really show how diverse and how intersectional our students are. And then we also report on the first gen and low income student population as well. So that's a couple of highlights that I think I would like to draw the attention of your listeners to.
Yeah, and that is truly interesting. I mean, I just think that, you know, folks listening to this podcast obviously are thinking about business school. Many of them are very interested in Stanford, obviously. And so to be able to see the work that's being done and even, you know, it's something that we actually talk quite a bit about on this podcast in terms of what does diversity really mean in the classroom? And there's a lot of discussion around, you know, what does it mean to be like first generation and just socioeconomic stuff that goes into the mix. And I think it's great that you guys are now reporting on that stuff. So in light of everything, though, that's been happening in the U.S., particularly with social justice, with Black Lives Matter, and even, you know, COVID-19's impact on minority communities, how was this year different for you and your colleagues involved in the initiative? I mean, it's got to have been just to be able to like be doing the work you're doing, but also to see what's happening in the U.S. just dovetail with it, or obviously some of these issues just so relevant right now. How did that sort of push everyone forward? Did it light a fire? Like how did this all play out for you and your team?
Absolutely. And it's such a great question, Graham. You know, we all know how unprecedented 2020 has been. And, you know, I would say that the events of 2020, which you've mentioned, both the inequities of COVID-19, but also the police killings of George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and countless other Black and Brown people, served as an accelerant or a catalyst to the work that we were already doing. And in retrospect, too, these events brought us so much closer to our communities as we all worked together to grieve some of what was happening in the country, but also figure out how we as a school and as a community could make change broader and begin to think about how we can do something about systemic racism and racial inequity in this country. So in one of the things that I think these events did was simultaneously made our work more visible and also more critical. And I think that these events, as other such events in this year, have called on us to do more as an institution of higher learning and to become a voice in the business community. And it also, I think, afforded us the opportunity and the blessing to work more closely with our students, our alums, our staff and faculty, so that we could channel the energy, the commitment, the passion, and all of the resources needed to make a commitment to concrete change. And, you know, these events also culminated in our action plan for racial equity.
So that's actually a perfect segue. I wanted to ask Lori, if you're willing, Lori, to comment on some of these new initiatives. And in particular, can you expand on the action plan for racial equity? I mean, I know Sarah spoke to it briefly. I know that it was something that was created back in July. But can you just talk about the engagement that you all had with the Black Alumni Association, Black students, and you know, just all your constituents to sort of bring this to life?
Absolutely, Graham. I would love to do that. And I especially love how you framed this. The events that Sarah alluded to absolutely were a catalyst, and it caused us to start on a journey to see how we could do better. And this is a journey, as you said, led by our Black students, alumni, and their allies. And what we put together, although it happened in July that we put it together, has been an ongoing North Star for us to work together towards as a community. The action plan for racial equity has four key pillars. The first one is to increase representation in our community. And one of the events I'd just like to highlight that has happened since we produced the plan is what the MBA admissions team did. As you know, we've all converted to being online. And one of the advantages of that is that we were able to expand our programming, our diversity outreach, so that 1,500 attendees were able to participate in up to 23 events on diversity and leadership this year, hoping to bring our ideas to encourage people to apply from communities all over the world. The second pillar is to build a culture of inclusion and belonging. One of the events we put together was what we call a Rising Scholars Conference. This was for underrepresented minority PhD students and postdoctoral fellows, and it gave them a forum and an opportunity to share their work with leading faculty from across the country. And I got to attend this event and hearing these amazing scholars sharing their cutting-edge research will truly reshape academia now and into the future. The third pillar is making positive change beyond Stanford GSB. How can we help our communities do better? And there's an opportunity that GSB alumni can participate in. We have a consulting team that works with nonprofit organizations. And this year, that team committed to focusing on advancing racial equity, working with organizations where that's their stated aim, where they serve our communities inside and outside the Bay Area. And the last pillar of our action plan for racial equity is holding ourselves accountable. Because as you said, if we're not measuring our progress, we might inadvertently not deliver on our aims. We formed a first DEI council composed of students, staff, and faculty, and we are going to ongoingly commit to delivering on our plans, learning from one another, and holding ourselves accountable to the change we said we'd make.
So I guess this is kind of a theme that we tackled a little bit with Sarah, but I kind of feel that it must have been, obviously, it was a difficult year, right? But it was also in the work that you're doing, engaging with so many students, alumni and faculty, as you're working to create the action plan for racial equity. I mean, it must have been, as trying as the year was, it must have been energizing, right? And as you kind of said, a kind of a catalyst. And I just wondered if you felt like at times that what you and Sarah and everyone are doing for diversity, equity, inclusion at Stanford was like you suddenly had like an entire new roster of people willing to kind of step forward and help given the importance of these issues now.
Absolutely. When I would describe how that experience has been, the word I want to use is humbled. We really have a special community. And one of the things we say in the report is that to truly dismantle systemic racism, we're going to need a movement of movement. And kind of the best part of working on this with our community is that I've gotten to know so many of our students and faculty and staff for whom this is a true passion. One example I'll share is there's a new student group that formed, which calls themselves the Allies of Black Lives, and we met together. And in that conversation, we could be authentic and say, here's what hasn't gone well, here's what we're trying to work on, and here's what we need to do to learn together. Having those really authentic conversations where we can bring our concerns and our hopes together, that just doesn't seem to happen every day. And so in the midst of all that's happening, these moments of connection have been a really positive, bright spot for me and hopefully for the others who have come together during these times.
Yeah, I'm just certain that they have been. And that's actually a really nice segue. I wanted to hear from Iza, given Iza that you're a second year student and that you're involved in, you know, Stanford's DEI initiative. I wanted to know more about your role and to, if you could, speak a little about the Student Diversity Committee that you're a part of.
For sure. I really want to echo what Lori was saying, that challenging times really have brought the community together. And that for me has been the Diversity Committee. We're a group of around 10 students that are elected to serve on the Student Association. And for me, that group has been a source of emotional support as we do work that is often quite difficult. And it's also been a group where I can feel challenged, like people hold each other accountable and we're all trying our best to bring this community closer to the ideals that we dream of. So a little bit of history in the Diversity Committee. Over time, as movements emerge and as the composition of the GSB changes, the Diversity Committee keeps growing and growing. So like 5 years ago, we had like two big events that we used to organize, a panel that's called Fitting in, Standing Out, and a keynote on DEI. And then 2 years ago, a group of students started a program called Pods. And the way it works is that you divide the incoming class of MBAs into intentionally diverse groups of people called pods, and you pair them up with a second-year MBA student who's been trained to facilitate difficult conversations around who we are, what matters most to us, and helping each other take the perspective of people that are different from us and understand how we can experience the same place and the same education in very different ways based on our backgrounds. So this year we expanded pods from 4 mandatory sessions to 6 mandatory sessions, and we also added a new DEI keynote so that we can have one that puts everybody on the same page and a second one that does a deeper dive. So lots of exciting initiatives, and also we're thinking of what's the best way to structure this work going forward. I have loved working with Lori and Sarah, reimagining how administrators can take some of the responsibilities into the future, and students can continue doing this work of imagining what is possible and trying out new things.
Yeah, these sound like a lot of really helpful initiatives. I will say I had to chuckle a little bit when you talked about getting together different groups of people and finding out what matters most to these groups, because I know many of our listeners are in the middle of writing their Stanford What Matters Most essay, and they're probably thinking, I thought I write that once and I'm done. I don't have to think about it anymore when I get to business school. But clearly what matters most to people is fundamental, right? So very interesting. I guess I did want to ask you, if you're willing, to share some firsthand accounts of how you and your classmates have taken action on campus and beyond. I mean, it sounds like, you know, you talked a little bit about some of the on-campus stuff, but are there other things that you've been doing in the broader community? And also, I have to ask kind of the elephant in the room, you know, how difficult has this been in light of COVID and, you know, things being virtual and that kind of stuff? I mean, are you able to get together in person at all, or how are you kind of tackling that aspect of it?
I love that question, and I want to share two stories that I think highlight how the Diversity Committee does both really programmatic work and also spontaneous organizing. So the first one was I co-led a pod this year, and we chose to make all of the pods virtual to ensure that they are as inclusive as possible, given that we have students with underlying conditions, international students that weren't able to make it on campus. But like facilitating difficult conversations around identity and also like talking about areas in which we're hurting is hard enough on its own. But add that this year it was on Zoom, it's much harder to see people's body language and when they're nervous or when they're fidgeting. And that was an added challenge. At the same time, I worked with someone else in the diversity committee, Kana Hammond, developing the curriculum for pods. And it was really exciting to try and make really engaging Zoom events. And we've learned so much from faculty that are innovating in what it means to do online education. And that was also really exciting to try out new ways to facilitate connection on this medium. The second story that I wanted to share was on the more spontaneous organizing. Someone on the diversity committee, his name is Andrew Jakubowski, organized a stand-in of solidarity with the Black community. This was at the peak of the Black Lives Matter movement. And at the time, any gatherings, even outside with masks, weren't allowed. But Andrew was really committed to making this happen. He reached out to Dean Levin, the dean of the business school, and convinced him that this was important. And it was the most beautiful event I've been in my time at the GSB. Peers shared poetry. There was another student that sang. There was a moment of silence. We got to hear from Dean Levin too. He decided to stand up and speak. And after several weeks of isolation, it felt like a really safe way to get together and show our mutual care.
Wow, that sounds really moving, especially, you know, during that period of isolation, to be able to come together around such an important issue. Lori, if I can go back to you, ask, you know, again, our listeners are, you know, business school applicants and aspirants. They're thinking of applying. And so what does all this mean? Like, what does the work that you're doing mean to the average prospective student considering Stanford GSB?
There are a few things that I hope will really matter to you that you'll find here at GSB. The first is that you'll be joining a community that's really committed to welcoming you, welcoming all of you, so that you can pursue academic excellence and expand your passion and care for the world with fellow students in support of a community. You will have a diverse and rich cohort of colleagues that will contribute to your learning and from whom you can learn yourself. Your classes will prepare you for global leadership and a spirit of innovation. And ultimately, what we hope is that your dreams will get even bigger and that when you leave GSB, you'll be excited to not only pursue your own career, but have a huge impact on the world. And what we hope is that together, we're going to create a more innovative and inclusive world where everybody has a chance to thrive.
Well said. Yeah, that's definitely matches with the mission of the school, as I recall reading it on the website. And that's really, I think that's a great message. And I do feel that, I mean, you guys are, you're leaders in many domains, but this initiative in particular has really stood out to me. Sarah, looking at the report, are there any, I know I promised I would ask you this earlier. So are there any year over year milestones that you want to call our attention to? You know, you talked about now we're starting to have this longitudinal data to look at. Is there anything you wanted to highlight?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Graham. I think the first thing that I'd like to highlight is that year over year, we've had a steady increase in gender diversity of our student population, such that we're now, the incoming class was 47% women. As well, we're making progress on students of color in the class and also beginning to report on U.S. students versus international students of color. And this year, 37% of our U.S. students are students of color. I mentioned this earlier, but again, I'll draw attention to the MBA class profile, which I'm so proud of. I think we may be the only business school that is highlighting intersectionality and first-gen low-income status, and also being very intentional about breaking out U.S. minority status from international student status. And then I'll also mention we've had some real wins in terms of recruiting women to the faculty, as well as increasing the gender diversity of our speakers in classes. And we have another initiative, which we'll be happy to report on, that we're also increasing the diversity of underrepresented minority leaders, especially Black leaders, in our case studies as well. And we talk about all of that in the report.
Yeah, some great milestones. And I do think, yeah, again, I think you guys are leading the way. I haven't seen any other schools, you know, offering up that level of kind of granularity with the class profile. I'm sure it's forthcoming because people will follow in your footsteps, I hope. How might applicants to the GSB showcase their own diversity and their interest and support for DEI at Stanford as they go through the, you know, application process?
Oh, that's a great question, Graham. I think there are two aspects to your question, so let me say a little something about each of them. The first is about how we curate the class, and I will say that this is an art, and we are so blessed with Dean Moss and her incredible team who want to hear all of the applicants' individual stories and want to hear about what makes each applicant unique so that they can build a rich and talented and diverse class. And then the second part of your question is really about interest and support for diversity, equity, and inclusion. And, you know, I think we probably all agree that diversity, equity, and inclusion is a business imperative. And this means that leaders need to be conversant about what diversity, why diversity matters to organizations, but also how to mitigate the effects of the many blockers or killers of inclusion and belonging as well. And if leaders didn't believe this already, they really should be paying attention to the changes in what millennial talent want, as well as proposals such as the recent one by NASDAQ to the SEC to require private companies to have a woman and a person of color on their board before going public. So, you know, we can preach this as faculty and staff and student champions of DEI, but fundamentally we know that what our students' peers feel and understand and value are very, very influential on the whole student body. So I guess I would say that we need students with demonstrated interest and also experience to help us to continue to enforce all that we're doing so far at the school and everything that we want to do going forward.
Yeah, very well said. I feel like the idea, one of the things that was compelling to me in reading the report is this idea about reaching out beyond, you know, the campus. And that was in the report last year as well, but just to see the continued work in that domain and just the recognition that, right, in order for things to change, it can't just happen within the walls of the institution. It's got to be broader. And it sounds like there's a lot happening there and being, you know, directed by you all, which is terrific. I did want to thank all three of you for joining us today and bringing all of these amazing and really timely initiatives at Stanford to light. I mean, it's just, it's been a wild year, and these issues have really come to the fore. And it's just been, for me, as difficult as it has been to see, you know, the police brutality and the, you know, the murder of innocent civilians, as difficult as that has been, I've been kind of buoyed by the response and the way that the nation has reacted and, you know, institutions like Stanford in particular. So really appreciate all three of you making time to chat about this. So thank you very much for joining.
Thanks, Graham.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, folks, stay tuned for more episodes of the podcast, and please remember to rate and review this Clear Admit podcast wherever you listen. Thanks again, and we'll see you soon.